यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस प्रगाचार्य अष्टोदर सतीस डिवाइन ग्रेस से भक्तवेदांत स्वामी विष्णु प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग ओम अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधा कृष्णपदान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितंश हे कृष्णा करुणा सिन्धु नन्दो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्त काञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण सो वी बिगेन दिस लेक्चर सीरीज विद द इंटेंशन ऑफ इंट्रोडक्शन टू वृंदावन फॉरेस्ट Especially when the devotees come here, we should be able to give them nice experience of a Vrindavan. And this particular place is also very important for us especially. Apart from six Goswamis, that Sri Prabhupada stayed at this place. And that's why for the ISKCON devotees, this place is extremely important. This place is the place from where the foundation of ISKCON institution was made. And then Prabhupada did spend a lot of time here writing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And especially this place, which Srila Prabhupada always wanted, that we should maintain his rooms over here. In the sense, like he wanted his rooms in Vrindavan, the temple, to be maintained. And then there were a lot of legal hassles that always keep on happening for retention of tenancy rights in Radha Damodar temple. So we could understand, like, na, how important was to Srila Prabhupada's heart that, like, na, we keep these rooms so that the ISKCON devotees can come there and then reflect about how Srila Prabhupada made preparations at this place. So when the guest comes or the devotees comes, we take them to this room. And especially the devotees can experience the real experience of this Prabhupada's room, and that's why we have created exact replica of this, exact size of the rooms and same kinds of atmosphere which was existing in 1965-1966. That's the time how the room was kept. Now few changes have been made, but Maharaj especially wanted, like, we should talk to the devotees who were very with Prabhupada in 1966 or 1967, and when they went to Radha Damodar temple and saw this Prabhupada's room, so what was the condition? So that condition we tried to replicate over here. So when we bring the devotees, they experience the real atmosphere existed those times. And then when we bring those who are newcomers or a guest, we want to introduce them about Srila Prabhupada. So how do we do that? Because how do they understand the glories of Srila Prabhupada and what Srila Prabhupada actually stands for? I remember in early 90s, we have a temple in Kurukshetra also. So that was, that time it was a small temple, just 2-3 devotees were staying there and preaching in Kurukshetra. So there was one brahmachari who was serving in that temple. He was just newly joined, maybe 4-5 months old. And those days, like, na, devotees could begin their career wearing saffron days even for day one in the ashram. All the rules, regulations came much later. So he was in saffron days, maybe 4 or 5 months old. And in Kurukshetra, you all know, there is a historic place. At the same time, it's a place of pilgrimage. So then there was an assembly of sadhus there. So they invited ISKCON also. These people also wear saffron. So let's call all those people who are staying. So they called all the sadhus, and our ISKCON sannyasi there was traveling somewhere. So this fellow went there to attend the assembly of all sages, and all traditional sadhus were there with long beards and big jatas and having, like, scholarship for Vedas and different Upanishads and all that. So everybody was given some time slot to speak. And when they were speaking, they were quoting big shlokas from Vedas and Upanishads and Sanskrit meanings and different meanings of different these things. Now this fellow started thinking, what should I do? I am in the midst of so many scholars. Then I have not learnt any philosophy like them. At the same time, I should also speak on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. So he thought what he knows. So then suddenly it clicked to him. Then what he started? He started Samsara Dhavanal prayers to speak and started speaking on that. And all those sadhus started listening, like, no, he's quoting Sanskrit shlokas, but we don't know where are they from. It appears like it's a guru's glorification. So he was on a kind of a right track. And then even new devotees in ISKCON knows this Samsara Dhavanal prayers. So he confidently spoke those prayers, and whatever he knew about that, about those prayers, he spoke. And then after he finished, all the sadhus clapped nicely and he sat down. Of course, that devotee did not live in ISKCON for a long time. But I remember he came to meet us in Chowpatty and he told me that this is how I spoke in the assembly of big, what we call them as Mahamandaleshwars, and big people were there. So what we feel is like when people come over here, we want to tell them about what Srila Prabhupada did for this world and what are his great contributions and how he is in the line of a bona fide spiritual masters. So we can take the help of this prayers, which was written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He wrote it in the middle of 17th century. And he said, like, no, that whoever with great care and attention loudly speaks these prayers, especially during the Brahma Muhurta time, then he will get direct service of Radha Krishna at the end of his life. And if you take these principles, the glorification done by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and take this Srila Prabhupada's life, the different things, activities Srila Prabhupada did, Prabhupada pastimes, we can see that all the eight things that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has mentioned over here were perfectly followed by Srila Prabhupada. So many times, like, the spiritual master gives a service to a disciple, and disciples do a lot of contributions, they work hard and get some achievements also. And there is always a chance of certain pride creeping in the minds of a disciples, that I gave this advice to my spiritual master, or I did this contribution to spiritual master, or because of me all those things could happen. But what we have to understand is like, many times it appeared that Srila Prabhupada is also dependent on his disciples for many things. But what we have to understand, it is the mood of a spiritual master of giving. Actually, spiritual master is not dependent on his disciples. Spiritual master is dependent on his spiritual master or Lord Krishna. So no matter how much great contributions we are there, we should understand that it is the spiritual master engaging me in the service. He is in the mood of giving. And when we do our contribution, that's how we build up a relationship with our spiritual master. And that's how the intimacy develops between us and our spiritual master. So nice guru, nice disciple will cultivate this servant relationship, the master-servant relationship can happen. And as you know, Srila Prabhupada was born on the day of Nandotsav, and that's why he was nicely called in his home as Nanda Dulal, because being born on the Nandotsav. And if you see his father and mother, usually we need the combination of both, the discipline at the same time mercy. So usually father, mother, they play naturally these roles. But in case of Srila Prabhupada, the father was very soft and kind, and then mother took the role of sometimes disciplining the child. And then we find, like, as the first stanza that is there by the Guru Ashtakam written by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that actually the spiritual master is receiving the mercy from Lord Krishna, and then he is able to extinguish the forest fire of material existence. As all of us now in summer season, and we are eagerly waiting for monsoon to set in so that we can stay comfortably. So as on the material level we are hankering for the monsoon to come, so similarly in this material world we are suffering in this way, where we are tortured for so many births in the materialism. The spiritual master has got the rain cloud of Krishna's mercy, and he can extinguish this material existence. And that's what is the biggest contribution of Srila Prabhupada. So we can introduce to the guest that this is the main achievement Srila Prabhupada did, and this is the main role of a bona fide guru, that he has a capacity to deliver the conditioned souls from the blazing fire of material existence. And in New York, in that garden, Tompkins Square Park, that's where Srila Prabhupada began the movement. So he would just sit under a tree and starts chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then slowly, slowly, devotees started coming. And then later Srila Prabhupada taught his disciples how to do Hare Krishna Mahamantra Kirtan. And then later on, the devotees themselves started going to that place, sitting under the same tree, and started performing the Harinam Sankirtan. And then Srila Prabhupada told them that if you chant even once sincerely Krishna's name, Krishna will never leave you. He will always keep you in your list and always make suitable arrangements so that you can come to the lotus feet of Krishna. So how Srila Prabhupada did this first stanza that we read in Guru Vashtak prayers, where we find, like, this is the first role of a spiritual master, and Srila Prabhupada did so many things so that people can understand that what is actually the real misery of this material world. So Prabhupada always used to say that what is the main problem in today's world? That people are living in ignorance. So he gave the example of a rabbit. If some big predator comes, starts chasing rabbit, what the rabbit does, he becomes so fearful, as such he's a very timid animal. He simply closes his eyes and thinks that the danger does not exist. And then Srila Prabhupada always used to say that this is what rabbit mentality, this is the ignorance of today's world. That people are simply suffering because of this ignorance, and if this ignorance is removed, they will be happy. And one time Srila Prabhupada was giving the example that people are trying to become happy in this material world. But how they can be happy? So he gave the example of, say, suppose there is a rich businessman and he loses 1 crore of rupees. Will he enjoy his food? He will always constantly thinking that I made such a big loss today, and he will not be able to enjoy what the food he is eating. So similarly, we have lost Krishna praying. So how is possible that we will be happy in this material world? And that's how we find, like, Srila Prabhupada in New York City in 22nd Avenue, this is the first thing he did, is to eradicate the ignorance in the minds of his disciples. And then naturally the people ask this question to everybody. That His Holiness Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj said, like, this is the first question that he asked to Srila Prabhupada. Was he was deeply impressed by Srila Prabhupada's chanting. And then first lecture he heard about Srila Prabhupada speaking about the removal, the ignorance. And he was very much attracted, and that time he felt, I should take up this life very sincerely. And then he asked the question which usually everybody asks, what if I am not successful? So he asked this question to Srila Prabhupada, that what if you don't become successful, the date comes before we attain our perfection. So that time Srila Prabhupada explains that even if you make 2% of spiritual advancement in this lifetime, that will always remain permanently with you, and in your next life you will begin from that point onwards. And that's what, like, was deeply impressed His Holiness Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj. And then after that he went to his usual life, and then later on he heard from his godbrothers who came before him. So after that lecture, Prabhupada told to his disciples, that boy who asked this question, he has a great prospectus to become a devotee. And then he was explaining that how initially the devotees were so eager to hear from Srila Prabhupada. Like Srila Prabhupada would go sometimes to a place to have the Harinam Sankirtan, and then Prabhupada would sit in a car and come back to his place of residence. And then he would start chatting with his disciples. In the car only few people could sit. So those devotees who couldn't sit in the car, they would just run so fast that before Srila Prabhupada's car could reach to the apartments, they would come before Srila Prabhupada and sit and hear from him. So this was Srila Prabhupada's contribution, that he could transform many lives. He could give the real knowledge or real remedy to the people of this world. So we can explain that this is what, like, Srila Prabhupada did. That many times the Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, especially in 1977, Srila Prabhupada was in Rishikesh, and he said stayed in that ashram. It's called Gangadarshan Ashram, and is right on the bank of Mother Ganges. I think it's the closest building from the river. And that time, I think Mahesh Yogi, he was also there in Rishikesh. And then he heard, like, Srila Prabhupada is very, very sick, but still at the same time he is conducting the classes, and many of his followers are also going and attending. So he came and met Srila Prabhupada and told, like, no, you are so sick, so you should stop preaching. And then Srila Prabhupada exploded, like, no, now what is the use of my life if I don't preach? That's how we see, like, his spiritual masters, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. His doctors advised him that there is some problem with your throat, vocal cord, and you should be speaking only this much time. But those instructions were totally disregarded by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He said that without preaching, what is the use of my life? So one of his follower, Yogesh Maharishi Yogi's followers, So she asked Srila Prabhupada these questions, that what you are saying about philosophy is fine, but what are you doing for the suffering of the people? So that time Srila Prabhupada said, that you think that mercy means just on the sentimental level, that you just take care of the body. He was saying that it is just like blowing air on a boil. Our mercy is like we are cutting the ignorance of the people's mind. And if you give the enlightenment about Krishna consciousness to the people, that will be the most important thing, that we are doing it for the people. Because what you are thinking about all this philanthropy and helping people and all those things is good on the bodily level. At the same time, at the spirit soul level, you also have to give them this proper knowledge. And that's how we find that wherever Srila Prabhupada began some activities like food distribution and others, he always wanted that it has to be accompanied by kirtans. And then we find at some places, now during this time also, devotees are taking out the packets with them, and there is a Harinam Sankirtan party, and they are also doing Harinam, and then some people are distributing the packets. It's risky, but still at some countries in the foreign, they have a big basket, so people come in the line, they pick up the basket, one box and go, and at the side some devotees are doing kirtan. So this is what actually Srila Prabhupada always wanted, that we should give people the real thing, that is Krishna consciousness. And especially if you hear Srila Prabhupada's lecture last time when he did Pandal programs in Bombay. And then sometimes Srila Prabhupada would become very heavy, that you must surrender, you all are Indians, and it is your responsibility to take Krishna consciousness, and this is real knowledge, should accept the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, and one should surrender one's life. And then sometimes he would become apparently angry also, because he always wanted to push people to the point of surrender. That was his intention of doing it. And but it's not that Srila Prabhupada was always the heavy person. When it came to the dealing with the devotees, he was very affectionate. He was very much tolerant in training his devotees. But when he came to the giving the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, he always wanted to give a proper, real Krishna conscious message. So he always thought, how I can connect everything with Krishna's. In the West, when Srila Prabhupada was walking along with his disciples, there was a shop selling donuts. And then Srila Prabhupada immediately said that, do not eat meat. But the disciples said that that word is not there. But he said, we should always tell that you should write on that donut means do not eat meat. That is our philosophy. And that's how we all know that Chicago airport, which is called O'Hare, that's the place where ISKCON devotees were doing very aggressive book distribution. There's a very famous Sannyas disciple of Srila Prabhupada. He was especially doing book distributions over there. And then every day there would be confrontation between the airport security staff and the devotees. And that time also, he told his disciples that if you can tell the temple, the airport management to change this name, so many people will be benefited. So Srila Prabhupada always was thinking that how everybody will benefit by this. And that's how, like, na, and then some of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, even though they were having not so good relationship with that, still they went and requested airport authorities, can they change the name? So this is how he was always looking for how I can spread Krishna consciousness. And then once, like, there was a story where Bank of America, by mistake, gave extra money to ISKCON. So after 2 weeks, they realized that, you know, they wrongly credited such a huge amount to ISKCON. And then the question came to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was not so easily willing to give it back. But that fellow, the branch manager, wrote to Srila Prabhupada saying, like, Isha Vashra Idam Sarvam, that one should just take whatever quota is that is allotted to oneself. And then Srila Prabhupada writes, yes, we see everything is a property of Krishna. So we'll use it in Krishna's service. So this is the actual use of that. So what Srila Prabhupada always saw, like, no, everything belongs to Krishna. He was training it. When Srila Prabhupada was in Australia, and few important people came to see him. So one was like an advocate, another was photographers, who were very eminent people in Australia. And as Srila Prabhupada was discussing with them, so there was one lawyer who helped the devotees. And helped the devotees in what? Because Ratha Yatra, devotees went to some place and stole all the flowers to be used for Ratha Yatra. And somehow that this lawyer helped to get the devotees out from the legal action. So he was saying, discussing with Prabhupada that this happened, and then the devotees told, because of this lawyer, like, we could escape from the punishment. And then Srila Prabhupada explained to him one story. He said that once in India, there was one minister, and he was working for the Muslim king. So regularly he would take some amount from treasury, and that's how he built up a nice temple. And one day Muslim came to know that my minister is stealing. So he put him in the jail. And one day when this Muslim king was sleeping, the two beautiful boys came to his dream and told him, like, na, that why you arrested him, you should release him. Then he said, no, he stole this much amount from my treasury. Then these two boys said, okay, we will give you that much amount, but you must release him. Next day morning when he woke up, he saw that next to his bed, all those equivalent that much amount was there. All the coins were there. All gold coins were there, and he couldn't see anyone there. That time he realized, like, this must be a very great personality. So he released him, and he also told him that you take this money also and use it for your service. So many times it happened, like, when somebody talked to Srila Prabhupada about the behavior of his disciples, in public he always would defend it. He might have corrected them in a private, but he always wanted to see that the devotees do the devotional service properly. And he always used to say, like, this, how the gopis are serving Krishna. Main thing is their selfless mood of service. And often he would say that many book distributors that are there, and they are putting their lives in the risk to distribute my book. And what they are doing it for? It's not that I'm paying them for so that they are distributing the books. So he says, so he saw the selfless service attitude of book distribution. He said that it was just like that of a gopi is selflessly serving the Lord Krishna. Then he was explaining that most of the things I learnt it from my father. All the devotional aspects I learnt it, and only he said, as far as book distribution is concerned, that I learnt it from my spiritual master. So we can understand that this is the biggest contribution that Srila Prabhupada did, is to relieving the souls from the fire of material existence. And this should be the duty of a real spiritual master. So whenever we bring guests to this room, to Srila Prabhupada, and then we want to explain the activities of Srila Prabhupada, there are, yes, the scriptures they mention about Srila Prabhupada, the qualities of a great sages. And then we can see that all the qualities of great sages you can see in Srila Prabhupada's lives. At the same time, these are the activities which the bona fide spiritual master is supposed to do. And what are the activities? The Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given this Guru Ashtak prayers. And the first thing he talks about, the real duty of a spiritual master is to relieve the disciples from the ignorance of material life. The next stanza that comes is about the chanting of the holy name and taking the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya everywhere. And we can see Srila Prabhupada, how he started, like he started the whole movement sitting under a tree and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And once His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj was explaining that first time when Srila Prabhupada introduced the jumping kirtans. So that was in the year 1968 on the west coast of US. So there was one lady, she came from India, and she was in very good in singing, and they had some other instruments also. And that's the time that Srila Prabhupada and some other disciples were there in the room. And in front of the deity's picture, Srila Prabhupada first told his disciples that how they can jump like this in ecstasy in front of the deities. And that was new, because before that there was a different style of kirtan, something like a Swami steps. And then all the devotees, they were very young, and they liked this style of kirtan. So immediately they phoned to the east coast, where Brahmananda Swami was there, and Tamal Krishna Goswami was living on the west coast side. So then Brahmananda Maharaj, he called all the devotees in the temple, and he put Tamal Krishna Maharaj on the speaker phone. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj explained that this is what Srila Prabhupada did, and then we, while singing, we can jump also. So that's how, like, Srila Prabhupada, like, no, slowly he introduced all the activities which Lord Chaitanya did along with his eternal associates. So at the same time, in 1969, the Rath Yatra, Srila Prabhupada in the street also introduced this system of dancing on the streets. And then Srila Prabhupada would walk in the Rath Yatra, and then deities would come from behind. So Srila Prabhupada would turn, look at the deities, and introduce this jumping sort of kirtan. And then especially Kumbh Mela, Srila Prabhupada's main activity was like to take his disciples and go around in Kumbh Mela site performing the Harinam Sankirtan. And we could understand, like some of you must have said sometime, or I think Damodar Prabhu stayed for whole month in that Kumbh Mela. So it's very quite cold, and few days in that 1 month becomes very cold. So Srila Prabhupada stayed in that cold. Sometimes it rain also comes during that time. So Prabhupada brought along with him the Radha Madhav deities, which is there in Mayapur now. And he would always insist to have Mangalarti also. And he would do follow through all the morning program, and all his disciples also would come taking bath in the cold water early in the morning. And Srila Prabhupada, even if with his weak health, he would come. And many people would visit ISKCON camp, and in front of the deities they would leave the coins. So then Prabhupada would tell disciples, like, gather all those coins. And when he would go on kirtans along with his disciples, then the beggars come. So then Prabhupada would tell his disciples, now you give these coins to the beggars. And then what Prabhupada used to do, if the beggar gets up from his place and comes to him, he would not give him anything. So he said that actually the beggar means he should just accept whatever comes in his way. So they should sit at that place and we will give them the coins. So this is how he disciplined even the beggars. Beggars also came to know that if they get up and go towards the devotees, they will not get anything. But if they stay at their place, they will get all the coins. So even the beggars also, Srila Prabhupada explained, like, how it is important that simply if you have accepted the profession of a begging, then you should do it properly and accept whatever comes on the way. Not like you go and start grabbing it. And we have seen that how in Bombay, in the Sadhu Sammelan, Srila Prabhupada introduced the kirtan, and many others would just speak on the philosophy, and they could not move the crowd, whereas Srila Prabhupada, along with his foreign disciples, could make everybody dance on the holy name. And many people would ask him that that how, like, you could bring this such a good transformation. So how you have done it? So Prabhupada always used to answer, because I am just doing what Krishna wants it. This is what Krishna has taught us. This is what has come into Guru Shishya Parampara. And simply that I am giving it. And this is the potency of Harinam Sankirtan that can bring change in the minds of the people. And that's why we find that a kirtan is the most important part of any festival. And we have a lot of kirtan. Srila Prabhupada always used to have, like, in the morning he would tell devotees that you go out and do street sankirtan. And especially when the early days, the devotees would go in Calcutta streets chanting Udila Aruno prayers. And they were very well received by the people of Calcutta. But when they started doing these things in Bombay, then the Bombay people used to throw coins on them. And then Prabhupada had to stop it for some time. But later, the people from Bombay also understood that this is nothing but our great Indian culture. And then later on, they understood that ISKCON devotees are not the beggars, but they can give Krishna conscious philosophy to us. So this is the aspect which Srila Prabhupada did it, so this Sankirtan movement he could spread. And then he always thought Sankirtan means distributing books as well. And always he would ask, like, how many books were distributed. And then once His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, like, organized this Radha Damodar bus party, and there were about 150 devotees and few sannyasis in that. And then Prabhupada would encourage the competition between the devotees, between the different temples, so that they can increase the book distribution. So once, a day before the marathon begins, the Prabhupada wanted to encourage his disciples to do more and more. So he was talking to His Holiness Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj, like, how much you will do. Then they said that this devotee has taken a challenge, like, I will do this much. So what this Tamalakrishna Goswami Maharaj said, that you make all the total of all of them, add this much into that. And before he distributed it in one book, he wrote the check of $190,000 to Srila Prabhupada and gave it in his hand, that this is what my contribution. And later he achieved that target as well. So this is the great confidence like he had. And that's what we saw, like how Srila Prabhupada pushed his disciples to the point of surrender. And he gave the process, and Prabhupada knew this process will work. And that's why sometimes he would give a very difficult task. Like when he was, Tamalakrishna Maharaj was in the midst of organizing a big pandal programs in Calcutta city. And he was the main organizer. And suddenly Srila Prabhupada called him and said, like, so many months we are working to get some land in Mayapur. We are not become successful. Now, I am giving you this much money and you go to Mayapur, but don't come back till you buy the land. So he was thinking, I am the organizer in this pandal programs, and suddenly I leave my services and go to a remote village and I can't come back till I get the land. And that time Mayapur, if you can imagine the scene, where everywhere was just a paddy fields. And just near Yogpit and all that, few muts were there. But otherwise it was mostly all the rice fields were there. And then somehow or other he got the land within that time. And we could see that how Srila Prabhupada just made a small thatched hut and stayed in that hut. And then in that hut also he would wake up in the middle of the night and he would start translating Srimad Bhagavatam. And one day some devotees were sleeping because there was the only hut that was there. So Tamalakrishna Maharaj thought, like, somebody is kicking me. So first he thought that maybe some other devotees may be there. But later on then he saw likenessness. Actually somebody is actually kicking him. So then he woke up and he saw Srila Prabhupada was there. So then Prabhupada said, like, you are snoring and your snoring is disturbing me. I can't translate. So you have to go somewhere else and sleep. But then where he can go and sleep? So then what he did is he found that some iron bars were there. He took some sand, put it on the iron bar and slept at certain distance. So this is how, like, he was explaining that how Prabhupada would sometimes give lots of service to his disciples. He said that one time in 1 week he got 8 letters from Srila Prabhupada asking him to do different things. So he was so much wanting, like, and then he was always explaining that how Srila Prabhupada was very careful about using the Krishna's resources. He said that he would get the envelopes, so he will tear the envelopes so that inside is a blank, and he would use that inside paper for writing some notes. So that was frugal Srila Prabhupada was. So this is the another contribution that we see, that activities which Srila Prabhupada did, spreading the Lord Chaitanya's movement, teaching the disciples how to perform kirtan and how to take kirtan everywhere, so that the people, not only the human beings but all the living entities, can benefit by loudly chanting of the holy name. Then third thing comes is the spiritual master will engage disciples in a temple worship of Radha and Krishna. And then he will make all the arrangements of temple worship, like, stitch a nice dresses, arrange for nice bhoga to be offered to them, make elaborate festivals for them, make the perform the aartis and all other things. So Prabhupada also you can see that how many places Srila Prabhupada personally established the deities, and the devotees did not know how to do deity worship. Each and everything they had to teach him. Like one time when they had Jagannath Baldev Subhadra in the temple, and then suddenly Prabhupada saw that, that Jagannath is missing. So then what he found, devotees went out for Harinam Sankirtan, and along with that they took Jagannath also, kept it in the garden, thinking that the people will benefit. But then Prabhupada had to explain it to him, this is not we can always carry. There is a festival, there is a particular time where they can go out to give the darshan to the deities, the general people. So we find that all over the world Srila Prabhupada established Radha Krishna temples, and then he here for the Zuhu temple he established Radha Rasbihari temple, and then he promised to the deities that I will build a beautiful temple for you. And all of us, we know that how much struggle went for building Zuhu temple. Soon the His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj will release a book on what all went that time in building of the temple. And we find Srila Prabhupada many times carried along with him the pictures of the different deities, and he also had deities with him. So he gave a nice Pancharatrika plus Bhagavat Vidhi to him, to us. And how one time when he was giving the Gayatri mantra to the devotees, and one devotee who did not know Sanskrit much, Jayanand Prabhu, when Prabhupada was teaching him Gayatri mantra, he was not able to perfectly pronounce these things. And after some time the Srila Prabhupada gave up training him Sanskrit pronunciation, and he just made the comment that Krishna looks for the feelings, not for the sound. So don't worry, even if you are not able to perfectly pronounce, but your feelings will be accepted by Krishna. So that's how we find Srila Prabhupada had to actually teach everything to his disciples about all aspects of deity worship. At the same time, how we should do Vyas Puja, he himself had to teach everything about how the Vyas Puja has to be done. Then we find Srila Prabhupada taught us about the cooking for the deities, how the deities as Krishna has to be offered with all kinds of delicious food. And then spiritual master becomes happy seeing that the disciples are honoring Krishna Prasad. And then we find Srila Prabhupada taught us about the cooking, even that laddu is there. Srila Prabhupada said that these are the laddus what Mother Yashoda packs for the Krishna, that whenever Krishna goes on the grazing for the cows, if he feels hungry, he can eat these laddus, which are his favorites. And then if you see that spiritual master always happy to see that others are eating prasadam, you will find in Srila Prabhupada pastimes where the memories written by the different devotees, one particular thing you will observe, that whenever any important person would come, whether they were willing or not, but Prabhupada would always lovingly force them to take some prasadam. So Prabhupada would sit behind his decks, and in front of him he would make George Harrison, or that time in India Vaijanti Mala was a famous actress, and then Ram Jethmalani, Tarun Kranti, there's so many important people were there, where he, the Birlas and all those people came. So he taught like na, all his devotees that how we should offer all these people proper Krishna Prasadam. He trained his devotees that how this how we should serve to the guest. At the same time, like all of us know, there is instruction that he always wanted that every temple should keep some dough ready, some vegetables ready, and whichever the guest comes, we should be offering them something to eat. So nowadays we find that that is difficult, like this culture is getting lost. But if you go to the villages, you will find that this was a naturally existing culture there. Whether you are known to that family or not known. If you just travel in the villages in India, even if it is a remote place, very poor places, still you will find this culture exists, and then people will offer something, some foodstuffs to eat for the guest. Now, I mean, if you walk from Haridwar, Rishikesh to all these Char Dhams by walk, you will like, if you go by walk, then you will have to halt at some villages. So all the villages have made this arrangement. There is a small place just outside the village where the traveling sadhus can come and stay. In the evening, villagers will see how many sadhus have gathered, and all the village will at least arrange something for the sadhus to eat. And you have like all these arrangements all the way from Rishikesh till the all four Gangotri, Yamunotri and Badrinath, all these places. So you walk about, say, 20 kilometers, 30 kilometers in a day, you reach at particular time, a place, all those places, these arrangements is made. So one day, one sannyasi mentioned to Srila Prabhupada, now I'm going to take prasad. And Prabhupada chastised him. He says that we never take prasad. We always honor prasad. So he always corrected, like the people should have proper mindset to accept it. And then he was always particular that the deities are served on time. For the deity worship, Srila Prabhupada always said that punctuality and cleanliness, these are the two main principles. And one day, Tamal Krishna Maharaj and Brahmananda Swami, both of them were there. And Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna Maharaj, you should be like him. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj started eating more. And after a few months, Tamal Krishna Maharaj told Prabhupada that how it is possible, because you all know Brahmananda Swami is huge. He says, I am eating more, but I can never be equal to him. So then Prabhupada said that, he started laughing and he says that, you are a big fool. I said you become equal to him in service, not in eating. And then once sannyasi, he cooked very nice samosa for a feast. And the guest and the devotees came. And then sometimes some people don't understand in the West what is this samosa. So some of them, they did not eat that. So this sannyasi, he himself cooked it, and he was expert in making especially the samosas. And he saw that people are wasting it. So he would say if it is intact, then he would take it from that plate and eat it himself. And he kept the count. He ate 25 samosas. And then he told Prabhupada that, today I ate 25 samosas. And then Prabhupada said, you are simply you are simply eating for dying. Of course, that sannyasi is not he still in the moment and doing great service for Srila Prabhupada. But the point is, this is the duty of spiritual master. He engages the disciples in this activity of how to honor prasadam, at the same time distribution of prasadam, and becoming glad by doing it. He's especially like once the Prabhupada in the home of some well-wisher, and all the Prabhupada disciples were there, and suddenly they found that in one preparation there is onion. So our mother Malti, she was sitting there and she could find out, like in one sabji it appears that there is onion, and then all the people in the started speaking that, oh, there is onion in this subject. So they were whispering to each other that don't eat this preparation. And then the host was bewildered that what these people are talking amongst themselves. And then Prabhupada also overheard what people are his disciples are speaking. Then he especially called that host Mataji, she was doing it, and called exactly that preparation in which the onion was there. So he wanted to be sensitive and to the feelings of the host who has taken such a big time to cook for the devotees. He just like when Srila Prabhupada was very sick, and whenever his sister Pishima would cook, and she would cook in a very rich dishes, and then Srila Prabhupada, even though he was sick, he would eat whatever was cooked by her. And once the devotees were invited, and just like we know, like many life members would invite, especially Gujarat and Surat area, where they would invite Srila Prabhupada along with his disciples, and they would have a huge feast arranged for them, and in very proper arrangements were there, and proper order they were served. And after that, Prabhupada would make them write the life membership checks. And Prabhupada was said, look, our movement, that we are making life members simply by eating. So this is how like Srila Prabhupada did that. Then afterward it comes is like how the spiritual master is aware of the intimate pastimes of the Radha and Krishna. And he is always relishing all these pastimes in his mind. And we find Srila Prabhupada, he would always be hearing about Radha Krishna's pastime, always be speaking about Radha Krishna's pastimes. And then when sometimes the new people would ask him that, why don't you speak on Raslila? Then Prabhupada would always say that I am not qualified to speak on Raslila. So even though he was relishing the highest pastimes of Radha Krishna, but still he would take the humble position of not to explain in front of unqualified members. And the way Srila Prabhupada gave us the Krishna book is that he made the mixture of pastimes plus with the philosophy. So even though we are reading the highest pastimes, but the philosophy is also there. Like there was one hardcore Mayavadi, I was talking to him. And then Samavadar or Radhakunda given him the Krishna book, and he relished reading Krishna book, and then he was talking to a group of people like, you should all read this Swami Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada's Krishna book, and you will find very nice pastimes of Lord Krishna. But beneath it you will find philosophy also. So there's a great these things he says. So even if a newcomer reads Krishna book, contamination will not come to his mind because it is coupled with the philosophy. And that's how he expertly did that. Then we find that the next stanza, which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes it, where he explains that spiritual master is expert in assisting the gopis, and as the gopis are making different arrangements for Krishna's pleasure, similarly spiritual master is also making arrangement of Krishna's conjugal loving pastimes in the groves of Vrindavan. But Prabhupada knew that what is the mood of Vrindavan, and he always said that the mood of Vrindavan is to stay the way the Goswamis stayed. They have really understood the mood of Vrindavan and the selfless service. So once Srila Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and one of his sannyas disciples came and offered him obeisances, and Prabhupada asked him, where you are going? So he said, I am going to Radhakund. And then Prabhupada said, there are enough monkeys in Vrindavan. So that's how Srila Prabhupada knew very well all these topics, and he was very careful that without qualification we should not approach it. We have to purify ourselves by years of service to our spiritual master, and later by the grace of Krishna that we will understand. And then the spiritual master has to be honored at the same level as that of the Supreme Lord. And that's how Srila Prabhupada always explained that how I never thought myself away from my spiritual master. I always thought that my spiritual master is always with me. And then the last stanza that is there, which is very important, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that unless you get the mercy of a spiritual master, you will not get the mercy of Lord Krishna. And this is the, for the disciple, the spiritual master's order is life and soul. The universe may come to end, but one should never leave one's service to the spiritual master. So Prabhupada used to say that this is the success formula. What is this? The yasya prasada, that is the success formula. And one has to follow four regulative principles, all the standards of devotional service, follow the order of a guru, and then patiently and determinedly preach Krishna consciousness and chant Hare Krishna. That will perfect one's life. And once Srila Prabhupada was asked by his disciple that what makes a disciple beautiful. He was explaining how the tree becomes beautiful by having a lot of fruits. The woman becomes difficult having a child. Then Prabhupada said that arana koi mane ash, that one should not have any other desire than the pleasing of the spiritual master. And then he quoted this verse and said that when disciple follows this verse, yasya prasada, then only actually he becomes beautiful. And if he doesn't follow this, then he becomes ugly. And Prabhupada further explained that this is actually our devotees' way of doing things. The yogis, they perform a lot of austerities and on their own they try to achieve something. Whereas the devotee depends on the empowerment given by Lord Krishna. And that's how he becomes a successful. And as he was talking, if you see that Arjuna had certain military expertise, but if you see the Kaurava parties, they had many stars, excellent stars in their army, like the Karna, Bhishma, Dronacharya. In that match, when the Pandavas completed the Gurukul education and they came and exhibited their skills, that time Karna could exhibit almost all the skill was expressed by Arjuna. So Bhishma, Dronacharya also had the similar skill. But we find that only Arjuna became successful because Arjuna depended on the empowerment given by the Krishna. And that's how we find that Srila Prabhupada always depended on his spiritual master, empowerment given by his spiritual master, and always used to quote that success of my preaching or success of my life is I have been blessed by my spiritual master, and actually that is his potency that is working. So these are the few unique contributions that Srila Prabhupada has made. So we can explain here to the guest, those who come here, that these are the acharyas has given. This is the way the spiritual master behaves. And this is the way the Srila Prabhupada whole life acted in this way. And this is the way, like, no, we have to accept somebody as a bona fide spiritual master. So we can see, like, people are finding it very difficult to stay in today's situation. But you can see these are two simple rooms in which the Prabhupada stayed many years without much of assistance. There's not even a tap water, running tap water here at that advanced age. And usually at the age of 70, leaving a place called Vrindavan, because most of the people in the old age go to Vrindavan so that they can leave their bodies, because they know anybody who leaves the body in Vrindavan can go back to the spiritual world. And that's the time Srila Prabhupada goes out of the Vrindavan, simply because he had full faith that one day this Sankirtan movement will spread all over the world. There's only that unflinching faith. On that, Srila Prabhupada went outside and then he spread all the holy name around the world. So along with this beautiful pastimes that are being displayed over here, we can compile the list of Srila Prabhupada's pastimes of different activities, as explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and can claim that these are the unique contributions Srila Prabhupada has made to the world, and that's why, like, he is the great acharyas. Hare Krishna. So somehow now for next 2 weeks we are little in a different position. We always wanted everybody to stay together and perform our devotional service, but the circumstances are forcing us to split into smaller groups and take the association, intense association, in the smaller group. And let's pray that the situation improves soon so that again we can resume back our temple services together and we can stay together. So till that, kindly cooperate with this, because it is just the necessity of today's moment that we need to protect ourselves from this disease. So there are very unpleasant decisions the management has to take, but however, if all of us together stay, then we will be able to defeat these things and we will be able to remain immune from that. Because what our experiences, wherever people were, devotees were little inattentive, that's where they had to pay very high price. So let's hope that again we resume soon this our discussions in the same place. Till then, in a small group, so we will associate with each other. Hare Krishna.